Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you. You have tuned into Matters of the Heart with Pastor Prophetess Royal Poinciana Sprewell. And I am blessed to have you to tune in this morning to the broadcast. I just want to say that I hope and pray that you all had a great and a wonderful week thus far, and that you're looking forward to embarking and endeavoring in a wonderful and a blessed week. We all know that we can't control certain circumstances that happen in our lives. However, we can do everything in our power, whatever we're able to control, to make sure that things go smoothly as possible in our lives. And I know that you all are doing everything that you can to make sure that things are going appropriately as you would wish they would in your lives. So I just want to encourage you on this morning that you have to stay strong, stay the course, keep the faith, and trust the Lord. And remember, God, He allows things to happen for us and happen to us, and He always leads us, and He'll guide us and direct us into each and every one of the different areas of our lives. It is up to us to consistently trust God and believe in Him no matter what the situation is or what's happening in our lives. And for those of you that may be going through turbulent times right now, and you may be saying, well, I don't understand why I'm going through this particular situation, especially now in my life, I just want to let you know that God is in control. And if you let Him be the guider or the steer of your vehicle, He will not, I guarantee you, He will not allow you to crash, and He will lead you to your ultimate destination. So you've got to sometimes let the Lord take over and let Him be the driver and direct and steer you in the way to go. And I tell you, He won't fail you, but you've got to trust Him, right? So you've got to say, Lord, I know that You are my everything. And sometimes you got to get to the point where you just let go, where you say, you know what, it's no more I can do in this situation. So I've done everything under my power that I feel that I could do to control these circumstances. However, they're totally out of my hands. And so you have to say, well, Lord, now I'll allow You to take control. I'll allow You to take position. And hard as it may be to let go, sometimes you just have to do that in order to see results. And that's why a lot of times people don't see things happening as soon as they would like to see them. It's because they hold on to the steering wheel just a little bit too long. So I would tell you to let go of the steering wheel and to let the Lord steer, lead, and guide you. Have you ever seen people that talk on the phone or be talking in the car, and you presume they're talking on the phone, but you absolutely don't know, and all you see is their mouth moving, and you're like, oh, it looks like they're not talking to no one. But you don't know. You're just speculating. You presume that they're talking to someone because the fact that their mouth is moving, they seem like they're interacting in the conversation. They may even be moving, nonverbal head gestures and making facial reactions, frowning, smiling, laughing, giggling, those sorts of things that indicate to you that they are having a conversation. However, you don't see nobody on the passenger side. You don't even see people in the back seat. But guess what? They're talking through some people who have the phone built in through their car, through the GPS system and all that different stuff. They got their speakerphone on. They've got their earpiece in. You don't see the earpiece because it's covered by their head, but somebody's there. That's my point. It's somebody in the midst. His name is Jesus. If you allow him to take control, even though people don't see him, he's in control. He's driving. He's driving. He's driving. He's in control of your situation. I always give the analogy of the plane, how when you're on a plane, and those of you who take flight know exactly what I'm talking about. When you're on the plane, it's funny because you're moving so fast, it looks like you're not going nowhere. And next thing you know, you're in the next state. The next thing you know, you're in the next city. The next thing you know, you might be in the next country. But you don't flew so fast, and the plane is going at lightning speed that you don't even know that you're moving that fast. Your next thing, you're over land, and then you're over water. You're over water, and then you're over land. And then you're at your destination. You say, wow, we sure did get here fast. And those of you that's like me, that ask the stewardess almost every hour, how long it's going to be? How long it's going to be? Because you start to get impatient. You're tired of sitting in that seat. And, you know, you get up, and you go to the bathroom. You stretch your legs out a little bit. And then you say, oh, I don't have my little snack that they give me. So I guess I got to get up, and I got to stretch it out a little bit more. But I tell you one thing, by the time you don't got done frustrating the stewardess, standing up, going back and forth to the bathroom, looking out the plane window for those of you that do, and you say, you know what, now it's time for me to have a seat. Next thing you know, there goes the captain saying, sit down, take your seats, buckle up, because we're about to prepare for landing. So, hey, I'm letting you know that some of y'all are about to get prepared for landing. Hey, you might have been on a bumpy road, and I tell you, it might seem like you've been in flight for a long time, but I guarantee you, if you trust God, you're about to get ready, prepare for landing. And if you believe and trust God, I guarantee you that he's going to lead and land you safely on solid ground, because you believe and trust in him. Remember, the plane is going so fast, at lightning speed, you can't even tell that it's moving. Next thing you know, all you know are you are there. And I'm letting you know, baby, you're going to get there, but you got to trust them. You're going to make it, but you got to trust them. You got to lean on them, because you got to trust them. And in this hour, it might not seem like you're going to get through it, but you're going to make it. Amen. I want to let you know that no problem is too big for God to solve. I know some of you may be dealing with circumstances, dealing with trouble with your children. You may be dealing with issues in your body where you don't feel good. You might be dealing with situations in your mind where your mind is perplexed. You can't even hardly keep your thoughts together because your thoughts are scattered because your thoughts are scattered because you're thinking about so many different. You know how you see the cartoon character and he's got those clouds ahead above his head with little questions in them because of so many different variations of things over your head. But I tell you, God will collaborate your thoughts and get your mind together. He's a mind regulator. Not only is he a mind regulator, he'll bring you peace in your mind. He will bring your thoughts into a situation. He'll bring your thoughts together where you won't even think about those situations. And you won't start letting your mind be perplexed by circumstance. But I guarantee you, it's going to take you to trust him in a time that you didn't even know how you're going to be able to do it. That's what it's going to take. It's not easy, and I'm not going to tell you that it is. I'm not going to tell you it ain't hard going through, but you've got to trust him. Some of you all are waiting on finances to come your way. You're waiting to hear yes. You're waiting to get a decision that's going to change your life, and you've been waiting for an answer from somebody, and they haven't even given you the answer. But I guarantee you to trust him. No matter what man say, remember, all power rests in God's hand. The heart of the king is in God's hands. And I know that sometimes in life we have people that don't even realize that are in position how powerful their decision is over our life, because one decision that a person can make a break or help change your life. One decision that a person can make to say yes in a situation could turn your life around tomorrow. But I'm going to let you know, no matter what, I said the heart of the king is in God's hand. It's not in the hand of the person. And I know it may seem like it, because it may look like they hold all the power because of the position. But I'm letting you know that if you trust God, the real power lies in the hand of the man who owns it all. I say he owns it all. He owns the world. His foot is seated on. So if you trust him in this hour, no matter how bleak it looks or how dark it may seem, God is yet in control. So we don't look at what we feel like man is doing, because we know that man's heart can be altered, because God said he knows the heart of man. And when God knows the heart of man, he knows what decisions and things could be made. Now, we could go back and we could look at King Nebuchadnezzar and how Daniel had to stand before him when he thought possibly that not only his head, but those of that region, all of those who had knowledge and wisdom or wizardry, heads were going to be cut off. It didn't matter if they were what we consider a true prophet or not. They all were in danger of King Nebuchadnezzar guillotine. And they knew that if they didn't find out what the dream was, that there were going to be consequences made behind the decision not to come up with something. But I remember in the Bible it stated that Daniel said, there is a God that knows the secrets and the heart of man. There is a God who knows everything about discernment. There is a God that knows how to reveal those things that are hidden before men. And because he trusted in God, despite of his head being on the guillotine of the king, he was able to get the secret. He was able to discern King Nebuchadnezzar's dream without even having an idea, because the king said, I won't even tell you. So when the wizards and when the false prophets and all of those enchanters came before his throne and they said, well, you haven't given us a clue, he said, I'm not going to give you a clue. If you can't tell me, then so be it upon your head. And so when Daniel heard about it, y'all got me preaching on this morning. When Daniel heard about it, he said, but I know a God that knows the heart and the secrets of man. I know a God that knows everything. I know a son of a God who's in control of everything in the world. And I think he got excited. And he said, wait a minute. Hold on, King. He went in his chamber. Hold on. Just give me a moment to deal with this thing. Give me an overnight process with God. Give me an overnight session with the king I know. And he got excited, and he said, let me sleep. And I'm one of those people. Matter of fact, I put a sign on my door that said, do not disturb today. Let me sleep, because I'm a prophet, and when you're a prophet, you need to sleep. People don't understand that. They want to know why you want to sleep at certain times or why you got to go to sleep. I know me, and I know how God operates and deal with me. And when you become a major prophet, I'm talking about
after standing at a level of a prophet, when you get to a certain place, I'm talking to you that are prophetic now. When you get to a certain place in God, he'll deal with you in certain realms, in certain areas, in ways that he don't deal with other people. And he'll start taking you into circumstances and showing you stuff that will blow your mind. You can't even talk to other folks about it because you're scared, because you know that you're treading on thin water, because it's certain things, if you reveal that God has shown you, it'll put you in a place of danger with his integrity with you. And if you say those things out of context to other people, he'll pull back and won't show you things. It's like a friend that'll reveal a secret to somebody. And if you say something about what they said, they won't show you any or tell you anything else. And that's how God works and operates with the major prophet. So I want to tell you one thing. When God shows you something, I'm going somewhere here now. When God shows you something and he gives you by way of dream, you start to understand that this is how God deals with me. This is when he deals with me. This is how he deals with me. I understand the relevancy. And so now you get into a place where you mature in God. And certain things you have to know that you can and cannot do. You start to understand how imperative it is as a prophet to dream. And so you have to have rest. And you have to have it certain days and certain times, because you know that those are the hours that the Lord will deal with you in particular situations. Now, if you like me, as a prophet, you don't know what God may deal with you about or may show you, but you have to be receptive and have a clear and an open mind to receive what God has said. And if you're sleeping and someone wakes you, they could awake you out of an important message. Because if you understand how dreams are, you understand that you have particular dreams that are for different things. You have dreams that are for instruction. So God may be giving you a dream for instruction. He may be giving you a dream for warning. He may be giving you a dream to reveal something in the past that may have happened and taken place, and you need to understand to be able to explain something to someone else. He may be giving you a dream for a future event or a situation that taking place currently, and you need to understand what's happening in the world, in the realm right now. So there's so many things why people have dreams. I was listening to a talk show lady the other day talking about a dream she had, and she said, dreams are very strange, aren't they? I'm going to be specific. I ain't one of them folks. I was listening to Wendy Williams' Dream. You know, I'm going to be honest. I'm not one to sit up and watch talk shows like that. But sometime my mama put it on, and I just sit and see what people are talking about for a minute, what's going on in the world. You know, you don't want to be so deep and so bleak that you don't know what's happening in the world. So. But I ain't personally going to put it on because I don't watch stuff like that. But my mama watching it sometime, I sit down and I watch it, and I was listening to her talk about her dream. And as soon as she finished, I knew exactly what it meant. I can't tell people because I won't go there, but I said, I know what that means. So sometimes you have to say, why is the Lord allowing you to have this encounter? And you have to understand, and I'm talking to you, I don't know why I'm on this dreams, but I'm letting you know that all dreams mean different things. You have dreams for different reasons, and you got to understand that those reasons are all for different purposes. People don't understand that. They think that one dream means God is telling you something. He might not be telling you not for just warning. He may be teaching you through a dream. I have teaching dreams where God comes and actually teaches me something in the dream. He'll teach me a word I never knew about. He'll tell me about something, he'll give me some information I never knew about a person. He'll show me how to deal with a certain situation that I didn't even know what to do with it. So He'll give me information on how to do a thing. So you have to get into a place where you trust God. And I think it's imperative that you understand that as we go from different levels, there's glory to glory to glory to glory. We go through different levels as the region. I'm speaking of as in the prophetic realm. Anytime you get into walking in the order of a prophet, you're going into different realms. Anytime you are a Christian, I'm talking about a saint. I'm talking about separate, set apart, living a sacred life before God. In holiness, you go from glory to glory to glory to glory. You never are in the same place at the same time. If you are, that means you're stagnated. You should always be moving and going to other levels in your life. Matter of fact, you should be moving in seasons. What am I saying? I'm saying that you might be here this year and you might be in the same place for 4 to 5 years. Or I'm saying that you could be right here today and by next month you're at a whole nother place and you got a whole nother thinking perspective on life, because that's how God operates. As Christians, we grow in God. We should be growing in God in leaps and bounds. I'm talking about, you know how you're in, you, here I'm going talking too spiritual now. Okay, let me slow down and go back. So when I say bouncing on the cloud is where I was going to go, you wouldn't know about that unless you had a supernatural experience in the Holy Spirit, in a dream I'm talking about. When you go from level to level, it's a transition, right? And your life is going to show shape. It's going to show form. And that's when, you remember when the Lord say, when we get in Christ, we become new creatures. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's because the old leaven is being turned over, right? And that's when you're born again. That's your baby step. Out of all the mess, all the placenta, all of the you know, the stuff that come out the mouth, all the blood, all of that, you had to get cleansed from. Remember the Lord said you were polluted when you were born, but he cleansed you? That's what I'm talking about. We've been washed, we've been refreshed, we've been renewed, we've been cleansed. So now that you have been born again, you start to take baby steps. Remember he said how you were on milk. This is Paul talking. But now that you are grown, you can eat some meat now. So you start to eat meat and you start to walk and you start to go on from one level to another level. And you grow and you grow and you develop. It's not about age. We're talking about developing spiritually and in spiritual time, how we transition from one level to another. I'm freestyling this off the top of my head because I ain't read nothing. When you get to a place in God, there should be so much word in you. And when I get my school open, when I get my school of the prophets open, I was just thinking about this. It's funny I'm talking about this because I was just thinking how I'm going to have them give me a sermon off the top of their head, like for 5 minutes. I want to see where they're at, their growth. And that's a way of determining where people are, their growth level. And I'm definitely going to do that because I think it's imperative. I was talking to a pastor friend of mine, too, as well, how we don't even realize how imperative, I don't know why I'm on the prophet tonight, how imperative the prophet is in the church, and they're not working effectively. They're not being allowed to work. For some, they're being held back. For others, they're operating in fallacy, which means that what they're doing is not even effective. they're doing and operating in error, and they're giving words that aren't correct. They're speaking things that have not been spoken of God. They don't know how to give proper delivery. Those sorts of things that make you and clear and concise prophet. So what I want to tell you, to be clear with you, is that you need to have order. You have to have proper etiquette and protocol when it comes to operating in the gifts of the Spirit. That's all the way around. That's as a saint. I'm going to leave it right there. And we've got some people that, you know, I don't want to even get on protocol and ethics in the church. Because, see, I would be here and have to extend the show for 5 more hours to break down that. So I wouldn't go there as of yet. I know the Bible said there's a time and there's a season for everything, right? Okay. So I'm going to have me a drink of water because I'm rolling up on 30 minutes, right? Okay, I want to go to the Word of God. This subject that I'm going to talk about, I'm going to be perfectly honest with y'all, it's a little bit controversial. It's a controversial subject. I didn't decide ahead of time that I was going to go here. I just quickly dealt with God and asked the Lord, this is what I want to talk about. This is what I'm going to talk about. I felt that it was important for me to share this because we live in a world where there are so many doctrines of devils out here. There are so many things that are being exploited, and people aren't realizing, and they're falling away. Remember they talk about the great falling away? There is a great falling away of the truth. People are starting to, because we live in a multicultural society, meaning we live in a society of many ethnicities, of many religions, of many backgrounds, that we have fallen aside for what Christian values are, which was our founding fathers founded our country upon. No matter what we went through as a people, I'm talking to black folks now, this country still was founded on the values and the morals of Christianity. So what I'm talking about goes against the grain of anything that's in our popular culture when it talks about religion. Matter of fact, religion is a taboo subject that people don't even want to talk about these days because they don't want to offend nobody. Now, what I'm talking to you from a Christian perspective. That's what I am. I'm a follower, with a Christian, a follower of Christ. That means you take on his belief system. Now, are you a true Christian or not? That's my question to you. If you are a true, authentic, organic Christian, then you follow the principles, the morals, the statutes, the rules, the regulations of not only the Bible, but you go back to the Torah. And if you guys don't know what the Torah is, I'm not going to even tell you. I want you to go and look it up on Google if you got to. Okay? We've got to get some root in us and stand our ground as a Christian. Now, I want to get this clear because I don't want people to lose their job and their positions, okay? because you can get in trouble these days, for real, straight up. You can get in trouble with your job. You can get in trouble at school and all sorts of things if you start professing your love for Christ, because in today's society, that almost the word Jesus is offensive, and I lie to you not, because people don't know how to deal with that. That's how power. Remember the word of God They say that Jesus will never lose, his blood will never lose its power. His name will never lose its power. And a lot of these folks are demon-possessed. So when you say the word Jesus, it shakes them. It makes them feel some kind of way. I'm saying this controversial issue, but I'm going to talk about it anyway, because I feel that we need to understand as Christians how imperative it is that we stand our ground in our belief system. As I said to you, this is a disclosure to you. If you have a job or you're working in somebody's corporation, if you're going to school, certain things you have to use wisdom on, right? You have to use wisdom. God told us to use our wisdom, use your knowledge, use your smartness and your ability. You can't be going around trying to convert people all to Christ at your job. You can't do that in today's society. Am I telling you not to tell people that you're a Christian? No, I'm not, because everybody should know you're a Christian. If you're a true Christian, I'm going to tell you something. You don't even have to tell people, because you know what? They're going to know by the fruits of your labor. That means how you operate in your life. They're going to say it's something different, it's something particular about that individual that makes me see a difference in them. What is it? And they'll ask you. And some folks might even know, because we so sweet. Real Christian folks are sweet people. And they'll say, are you a Christian? Because you act like one. Okay. Let your light so shine. That's all I hear. Okay. The word of God I'm coming from right now is John chapter 10. And it says, first verse states this, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that enter not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. This is Jesus' words, and he's talking about how important it is for you to come into the body of Christ and to come into the sheepfold as a whole under Christianity, to be a saint, to be one that is numbered in heaven. Remember, he said that God has numbered us before the foundation of the earth. Our names were written in the Lamb's book of life. You counted already in the number before the foundation of the world. He said we are known by our actions, by the things we do, right? So listen, he's talking about those of us that are coming in the sheepfold. Now, he's saying how other people are attempting to be numbered among the sheep, but are goats. They're not sheep, but they claim to be sheep. What am I talking about? I'm talking about people who claim they're going to get into heaven, and they're not going to get there. Oh, let me hold on. He said, he that enter not by the door. What is the door? The door is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. The door is him bleeding. The door is him dying. The door is the crown of thorns that was on his head where he bled. And he died and gave up the ghost and went to heaven. And 3 days later, he rose for those that believe. He told Thomas, bless all your eyes for you see. Because Thomas didn't believe it. He didn't believe that Jesus had risen. Here, look at my hands. Look at the holes in my feet. Look at the holes in my hands. I have risen. He said, but you're blessed to see, but think about the people that don't see and believe. Jesus is the door. And other people are trying to say they're going to make it in because they say, you know what, there's other avenues to get to Jesus. You can get to heaven. It don't matter how you come. That's a lie. I said that's a lie. Don't believe. It don't matter if you're a Hindu. It don't matter if you're a Muslim. It don't matter if you're Confucian. It don't matter if you're this or that. You still can enter in the door. And that's inappropriate. That's inaccurate information. You have to come in by the door, and that is the way of Jesus. Here's the word of God It says it right here in the Bible. I'm not making this up. This is chapter 10 for yourself. It says, but climb it up some other way. The same is a thief and a robber. I want to tell you what it means to be a thief, which is a burglar, okay? It is someone that is a thief, that steals stuff. That means to take something from somebody without their permission. You don't ask. That's thievery. When you take something that don't belong to you, that's thievery, okay? Now, he's talking about, what does he mean by that? He's talking about people that's claiming that they are Christian, that's claiming that they're going to heaven, that's claiming his name, but have not made the confession, that hasn't said that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. He bled, he died to make the confession, to stay with your mouth, but he rose 3 days later. That's what he's talking about. How are you going to claim that you're going to make it into heaven with God, but you don't come through me? I am the sacrifice. I am the Lamb of God. That's like somebody tried to come in my house and don't acknowledge my child. I'm going to say it again. That's like somebody trying to come in my house but want to disrespect my child. That's my blood. Do you understand? We thick. And I might as well say it, we thick as thieves, right? Because we stick together. We thick. Our blood runs deep. We way bigger than this. We way bigger than you. How you going to come in my house and try to disrespect my child? That's how God feels. I'm going to put it out there to you that don't understand, that's trying to talk about you're going to make it into heaven and you believe God, but you disrespect his son. He feels the same way about his child that you feel about yours. But, I'm at 2, he that entered in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. A shepherd is one that leads and guides. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm being a shepherd as a pastor. I'm teaching you the correct way of doing things. I'm guiding you into the right path. A guide is just an instructor. When you're guiding, it's a help. I can't do it for you. I can't change your mind. I can't change your theology. I can't change your perspective. I can't change your core belief system. All I can do is try to help influence you by presenting you the word of God and what it states, and you have to make the choice for yourself. Is this what you want to do or not? I can't make the decision for you. Because God is not, we're not robots. He don't control us. He allows us the opportunity to make decisions for ourselves, whether they're good or bad or indifferent, and we lead the path of where we are going ourselves. He presents and he put people on our path, just like he's putting me on this show and this broadcast live right now to talk to you. He does the same thing in your life. It's been so many people to help gear you along the way. But it's up to you as to where you want to go, because you have your own mind to make your own decision, just as Satan did when he decided to rebel and stir up controversy in the kingdom of heaven when he talked to the other angels and said, let's revolt against what God's doing because he has too much power. We can overthrow him. You know, I can be God. You know what? That's just like somebody come behind your back and say, you know what? I can do it better than what they doing. Let me show y'all what I can do. Give me a chance. And it flop, right? He's not God. He never will be. He never has been God. He never could take the seat of God. That's why he down here stirring up all the hell he can with us, right? Don't let him take you out. So here I am. 3, to him the porter opens. Now, when you trust and believe God, when you come in through the door, which is Jesus Christ, when you come in the right way, when you come in with the right belief system. Let me stop you right here. I'm going to throw a monkey wrench in there for y'all right here. There's some folks that say, okay, that's right, prophetess. I believe in God. I believe in Jesus as his son. I truly wholeheartedly believe in Jesus, wholeheartedly. But this the dagger. If you not living right, everything that you believe is for nothing. Because nothing unclean can enter the kingdom of heaven. You got to go there with holy hands. You got to go there morally, spiritually filled with the Holy Ghost. You've got to have a pure and a clean life and a good heart. Not jealousy, envy, hating on folks, hating your neighbor, hating to see people advance in life. Be proud and happy for your neighbor if they prospering, if they making it, if they being successful. So be it. You know, the Lord even told us, don't even worry about the people in the world that's being prosperous. He said, because they're like the withering grass that's going to go away. Next thing you know, they ain't even going to be there. And that's what's happened to a lot of folks. They're dropping like flies. Unfortunately, I'm not gloating in that. I'm just keeping it honest. That's what's happening because that's the word of God. Saints, we have to recognize that it's only one way, and it's Jesus. He is the door. He is the portal. What's going to let you in is your belief in God, your belief system that Jesus is his son, was risen 3 days later, and the lifestyle that you live, a clean and a wholesome and a sanctified life before God. If you do those things, you will make it in. And I'm telling you, life go by so fast. I can remember when I was six. I remember the day, clear as day, when I turned 16. And now I'm 42. So I'm telling you that life go by so fast. And a lot of young folks, they not even making it to see my age. They dying way earlier than they should because of disobedient acts and things of that nature. So it's really a situation where we need to really look and reevaluate our lives and reevaluate our morals and really evaluate and critically think about our belief system. And are we really doing the things that are necessary for us to make it in? Because before you know it, the Lord is going to be here. He's going to crack the sky. And they said it's going to be like a day of a woman travailing, having given birth, the pain, the agony of it all. So let's get in the right place. And it says, and the sheep hear his voice. That means you're going to know. If you hear his sheep, the Bible says the day that you hear my voice, harden not your heart. He who has an ear, hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. The Spirit of God is talking. He's moving. And we're not listening. He's giving us a guidance. We're not paying attention. He's showing us. We're not looking. We're blinded by scales, which are things that we're involved in. That's got us blinded. Open your eyes and see the salvation of the Lord. And he called his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. He knows you. Have you heard this song? He knows my name. He know his sheep. You're branded spiritually. He know his. Every other goat is a liar. He know his. Just like your kids, I'm going to give you a prime example. My boys, they comical. Sometimes they'll call me on the phone and or we'll be in the house and they'll try to say, you remember, wasn't it Isaac
Isaac that got tricked by his son. I might, or I might be a little off there, but I'm going to find it for y'all next week. And he said, I need to refresh on that. I know the story. I just can't recall the individual. And his son and the son and the mother came in and tricked him because they put him on the other clothes. They put him on the animal skin, and he couldn't recognize and remember. He couldn't see because he was old, and he couldn't recognize which one his sons it was. And so he switched the blessing upon the wrong child, right? It's going to come to me which one it was. So, okay. So what in terms is the mother helped him scheme, and they gave the youngest child the blessing over the oldest child. And he had, am I talking about Esau, y'all? Okay. So, you know how you try and figure it out which one it is. I get it. I believe I can't remember right now, but I'll bring it back to y'all next week. So I know the story because I know the word of God. So he tricked his father, and he put on his to make himself feel like he was hairy. I believe it's Esau. He made himself feel like he was hairy, and he said, "Okay, Dad." And he was talking to his dad, and then so his dad put the blessing on him, and then he switched it out from from his brother because his dad couldn't remember. He was old, and he couldn't see. Now, this is, I'm going to tell you something. I know my kids' voice. This is what they'll do, something similar. Mom, this such and such. I said, no, it ain't. I know my kids, okay? Now, they're my kids, but I know their voice. And so when they try to imitate the other brother, I know I got three boys, so I know which child it is. So what the Lord is saying, he knows his own. He knows his kids. You see what I'm saying? He knows us distinguishly by who we are, our actions, the lifestyle we live, the things that we do. Those are implications of his children. He knows his. You know, you can't trick him. You can't deceive him. You can't mislead him on his child because he knows his kid. You see what I'm saying? So, this is very interesting. So, going on to 4, it says this. And when he put forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. Now, remember, I like that because I didn't even, like I was saying, I was just preaching off the top of my head. And he says he goes before them. Remember, I was talking about allowing the Lord to lead the way, let him be the driver to instruct, right? And it says, and the sheep follow him. I was telling you about that, how imperative it is to follow Christ, to allow him to lead and guide you. I understand that sometimes it's difficult to do that because you want to take control. And if you're like me, you always want to be in control of situations. And I have to repent a lot of times and ask God really to help me because I'm always trying to make sure things almost are perfect. When I do know things are never going to really be perfect, but you always want to make sure it's all lined up and this sort of thing. But sometimes you got to step back and you got to say, Lord, I'm going to let you handle this. Like, really, I cannot control this. Like, really, this is truly out of my control. It's out of my hands. All I can do is give it to you. And I love this. This is beautiful. And it says, for they know his voice. So not only does he know us, we know him. And isn't that a wonderful thing that he knows us as well as we're knowing him? I think that a lot of times people don't understand the imperativeness of the relationship that you should really have with the Savior. Like, it's a precious thing to have the relationship with God, Son, and with the Father himself, too. You know, we are in relationship with them. I can't say it enough how Jesus said, how they are one and let them be in us as we are in them. We are to be connected, like basically on one accord. All of us should be on one accord together, right? Like your Holy Spirit should connect with them. You see what I'm saying? We are in partnership, okay, with the Father, with the Son. And when we are in relationship with them, when you're in relationship with somebody, you love on them. You want to make them proud. The things you do, you don't want to embarrass them. You know, I told God, I said, Lord, I don't want to embarrass you. And I'm serious about that. I don't want to embarrass God. I don't want to do anything out of character that will cause him hurt. When you love somebody, you start thinking about their feelings. That's when you know that you respect somebody and you really deeply care about them. It's because when you get to the place where you start to recognize how it may impact the other person and you consider their feelings, that's true love. That's real love. I don't care what people say. When you start doing things out of selfishness and when you start doing things just because it's an opportunity or you can take advantage of a situation, that's not love. That's lust. We've got to get to the place where we're loving God. We're loving his instruction. We're loving to live a Christian life. You love to be a positive influence. Don't you know how many positive people we need in our society the way that the world is right now? Our culture has gone all to hell and backwards. They're walking backwards. So they need, Christians are more needed in the world than ever before, people that are going to be a positive influence. I'm not talking about radical people that out their mind acting like, you know, I just saw some people. Let me get a drink. So I just saw some people, you know, that I call them attention getters because I think that there needs to be boundaries, okay, in things that we do. I think that sometimes people go overboard, like people that go all outside, Jesus saved, okay. You know what? I understand that they have a method to the madness. However, we don't want to be an embarrassment to God. And a lot of times people think that you being a lunatic. You see what I'm saying? You go out there, you got a big old cross, you holding it up. It's just a way that you do things. You see what I'm saying? It's a way that you can do. It's a way that you can get the message across without looking like you out your mind, looking like you radical. You see what I'm saying? You got to ask God to lead and guide you and give you the wisdom and it's the delivery. A lot of folks with them signs, people just looking at them, oh, they crazy. They out here holding out that big old sign, hollering with the bullhorn, talking about Jesus. You don't have to do that. Everybody know. I don't care what their religion is. They know who the Lord is. They know who Jesus is. Believe me, they know he's saved. Do they accept he's saved? That's different. Do they know they heard about he's saved? Oh, yeah. Now, am I saying I'm against that? I'm not saying I'm against it. I'm just saying I feel it's a little bit far and it's a little radical. that's my opinion. Do I feel there's other way that you can have a delivery? Absolutely. So that's for you to determine. And that's when I come up with always say, think of three ways that you could do something differently. Okay. And a stranger, will they not follow? I'm going to leave that be because I don't want to get calls. A stranger, they won't follow. You get it. You have God. It's either you hear the voice of the Lord or you don't. And if you're not going to hear his voice, then you following another. Who the other is, you know who the other is, and that's between you and the other. And if the other can't hear you, if the other is wood, you hear what he knocking? If the other is plastic, if the other can't hear you, who are you talking to? What? Our God is not made of wood. He's not made of metal. He's not made of plastic. He's not made of none of those things. The prophet said, you know what? If your God is God, let it come fire down from heaven. But my God is going to deliver fire. Their God didn't, but his did. Because our God is not made by hands. He sat and rests in heaven. He's seated in high position. You can't even see heaven. You can't even visualize it, because that's how great his inhabitants is. And you won't follow another because you know the truth. And what the Bible said, the truth shall what? Set you free. But will flee from him, for they know not the voice of a stranger. I'm going to just leave it like that. That's the word of God. Thank you, Jesus. I appreciate your word, Father. That's beautiful. Let us pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us of our debts, Lord, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all that which is evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. And, Lord, I pray that if anyone is listening to this broadcast right now and they reconsidering who the God they have been serving, whether that's a God made of metal or a God of any other God that they felt was God, I ask, Lord, that you open up their heart. Just repeat after me. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord and my Savior. I repent right now of serving anyone that is a false God. And I believe that Jesus Christ died and rose 3 days later and is now seated on the right hand of God the Father. And if you believe that and you opened your heart to say that, and open your mind to say that, then blessings are going to come your way from heaven, and he's going to show himself to you, and you have repented, and you're going to become a new creature. Lord, I ask God, I thank you for the people that listen to the broadcast. I ask you to show them the way to go. If they're serving other things, I'm talking about materialistically. I'm talking about anything that they put before you, Lord. Let us repent of anything, God, that bring displeasure in your sight. For you are the true and the living God that rests in the inhabitants of heaven. I ask, Lord, that you just touch, strengthen, lead, and guide. Thank you for tuning in. This is Pastor Progress Royal Point, Sienna Spreewell, and you have tuned into Matters of the Heart, and I will be here, right here for you. Next week, same time, same place, midnight, calling out to those of you, giving you to lead you with the instruction of the word of God. Again, this is Pastor Prophetess, Royal Point, Sienna Spreewell. This is your number one prophetess, called to the nations for this generation, Prophetess Royal Point, Sienna Spreewell. And I love you. You be blessed. And take care, and peace be unto you and yours.